Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two. Oh my God, this song sucks. Barry kicking off hour number two,
baby,
with Paula Abdul.
Rush, bitch.
I don't think, you know what, in all the years aggressive of hearing her sing that song, I don't know that I've ever heard her say.
I apologize. That was very aggressive.
Rush, bitch.
I apologize. I just didn't need to be that aggressive.
Is that like Duck, Duck, Goose?
I love that game elementary. Oh, my God. That was my favorite game to play was Duck, Duck, Goose and then the parachute.
I could see you hit someone and run.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And then run around
that
the circle.
I was fast as a kid, too, so I always did well at Duck, Duck, Goose. Duck, Duck, Goose was fun, and then the parachute where they would put the big red kickball in the middle, and you try to bounce it into the hole. No. That was fun. I didn't like Shoe Stew. That was a stupid-ass game.
I'm sorry, what?
I never played that either.
What is y'all never played Shoe Stew?
What is Shoe Stew?
That was a funky-ass game. So they would get all these kids, and everybody would put their shoes in a big pile. And they would just, it was just a pile of shoes. And you would all stand on a line away from the pile, like, you know, 100 feet. And then Miss Littleton, our PE teacher, would be like, 1, 2, 3, go. And you would run to the pile of shoes. You'd have to find your shoes, put them on, tie them, and then run back to the line where you started from. And that's how you won shoes.
This is how he became a germaphobe. You're sharing foot fungus from like 100 kids.
Yeah.
Pretty gross.
And it's
pretty
a
gross
gym
game.
Class event?
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite. Miss Littleton was, she was kind of a mean gym teacher.
What happened to rope climbing and kickball, for God's sake? What do you call it?
Shoe stew.
That's dumb.
I didn't make it up. I'm just telling you that
but
was
you
my
said
least
you loved
favorite
it.
Game. No, oh. I said it was my least favorite game.
I would imagine that game is not being played anymore anyway.
No question about it. From a hygiene standpoint, there's no way.
Let me see.
Because you know little Bobby,
look, I just
who's
Googled
got all kinds of
game.
Athlete's foot because mommy and daddy like to wear the same socks a couple days in a row, is definitely the guy that would be spreading it around.
Yeah, that's not.
That's not a good game.
Mm-mm.
You found something other than what you were looking for based
weird.
On that face.
Eating shoes. That's weird.
That's what you played. You're a shoe eater.
No.
You sure?
No.
Okay.
Werner Herzog eats his shoe. He boiled it with a soup stock. What? I don't know. I'm out on that. But shoe stew was not fun. Duck, Duck, Goose, outstanding. Love that. We were talking a couple of segments ago about Justin Verlander and how he said the balls are juiced and a lot of pitchers were agreeing with him. Well, one pitcher in particular came out and didn't exactly give a ringing endorsement to Verlander. Kind of had his back, but Max Scherzer was asked about it at the All-Star Game festivities on Monday. Mm-hmm. And this is what he said about Verlander's complaint that the ball is juiced. He said, "I don't feel anything different with the ball, but I think we can all see the ball is definitely traveling differently. And the commissioner has even come out and said so. The drag is just different. Yeah, the ball's different. It's less, so yeah, the ball's different. But you can't cry about it. You got to go out there and pitch. I'm not going to cry about it. Our hitters get to hit with it." Not exactly a ringing
from
endorsement
a former teammate.
Yeah. Not exactly a ringing endorsement. And he does bring up a pretty solid argument against what Justin Verlander is saying, is that, yeah, the ball might be juiced, but that works for your offense too. So when the Astros are, you know, beating teams 11-10, guess what? Those 11 runs came off of the juiced ball. So it sucks for a pitcher. Your numbers aren't going to be as good. But when you talk about the home runs are up 19% overall.
Yeah. And we talked about
just, they're on track for 1,076 more home runs than last year.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. If you were to say, oh, the 100 more than last year, or 200 or 500, but 1,076, almost 1,100 home runs more than last year. Crazy.
Yeah, that's just nuts. So it just shows you, and you're right. I mean, and again, if Rob Manfred would have been thought it was all just ludicrous, he'd have just completely been in denial. But even when Verlander first brought it up before the All-Star game, he basically said, look, you know, we're not going to get into whether we the ball was altered or not, but, you know, changes have been made, and the bottom line is runs are being scored. So I just think that we just got done talking about how much we enjoyed the last 2 days with the All-Star game, too. And especially from a home run derby perspective, if indeed those are the same baseballs they're using, they were flying out of the park at a pretty high rate. It's a big deal when if you hit it 440 or further, you get extra points.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of laying the groundwork to say, yeah, we believe that in order to keep the game at a really good spot in terms of popularity, marketability, and otherwise, you're going to score runs. You're going to be exciting. You're going to have, and we all know, and the thing is that I think that we lose sight of is, and I've talked to a lot of coaches about this in the last couple of weeks too, is the frustration that coaches have is kids are all a product of what's going on socially around them. And they all have become SportsCenter babies. It's not the fundamentals of being able to be a good ball handler and a crisp passer and a good picking guy and a defensive guy in basketball. It's what they see on SportsCenter. It's the threes, the dunks, and the really flamboyantly, you know, outlandish shots and moves. Same thing with baseball. Home runs, diving plays, and you get away from the fundamentals and some of the lot of things. But that's what kids are watching. That's what they're striving to do. And that's what makes the game more exciting for people that when they go in, whether watch on TV or in the stands, that's what they want to see.
Well, and even if the ball has been altered, if you're saying that, which was the discussion was, oh, well, the, you know, that sweet spot, the center of the ball has been more accurately centered. Well, that just means you've perfected the manufacturing process. And if even if baseball, you know, the accusation was because baseball bought Rawlings that they altered the ball. Well, they didn't really alter the ball. They just built a better mousetrap. They found a way to reduce drag and create more offense by making the ball more precise. I really don't have a problem with that.
It's the same way.
It's different if you do go in and say, okay, you know what we're going to do? To increase home runs and to reduce spin rate, we're gonna not have seams on the baseball anymore. That, you know, it'd be like lowering the mound and moving the pitchers in or something like that. Now you're fundamentally altering the game. But just because you build the ball more precisely and it happens to affect or reduce the drag and make the ball fly farther, oh, well.
But how many times have you heard a baseball fan say, man, you know what? The steroid era was bad, but I miss it. I miss it, right? Well, if you're the commissioner, obviously steroids initially had to be removed. And now people are saying, I missed the home runs. So he makes a move to, or at least allegedly makes a move with the ball to increase home runs. I mean, you can't have the best of both worlds. Do you want home runs or do you
Great
want steroids in baseball?
What? Like, what is it? Say Jordan and Bird and Magic saved the NBA. You can go right there and say Sosa and McGuire resurrected baseball. So if you're the same baseball fan that's out there saying, I want replay more and more, including the strike zone, because I just the end of the day, I just want to make sure they get it right. If you're manufacturing a more precise baseball, you shouldn't be mad at what's going on to make sure that that ball is done exactly with the most consistency it possibly can be.
Yeah.
And as a spinoff to that, everybody's throwing the same ball and everybody's hitting the same ball. Mm-hmm. So if you got guys that are talented at the plate or you got pitchers that can figure it out, kudos to you. But it's not like one team is using a different baseball than the others, except for if you're in Colorado.
That's true.
Because then they put them in a humidor.
Somebody on the text line said, well, first of all, Josh and Beaumont said that if you're trying to obtain a pitcher to chase a championship with a potential hurricane looming, let's just hope only half of that is true.
True.
Pretty interesting. Back in 2017 when they were chasing Verlander. That's a pretty good point. And then somebody asked about trading with the Mets. Would you go after Diaz as the closer? I don't think so. That's not a need.
Yeah.
You don't need him. Also, just to get it out of the way, but Demetrius said, hell yeah, Rush is the jam. So you can suck it.
Might be the jam if you're like working on some chick. It's not the jam for way back Wednesday. We've learned that.
I couldn't even jam to that in the car.
That's
I don't.
Terrible.
Yeah.
What?
Rush, rush.
You guys are off.
That must have been a song that replayed on radio like time and time and time again.
It was. That's the jam.
So you guys were forced to like it. It was one
don't
of those.
Don't say
situations.
You guys. I don't like that song. I never have, never will.
No. Like Ed Sullivan.
Never been a fan.
Y'all were forced to like Ed Sullivan. There
you
was
like
three
that
channels.
MC Scat Cat song she did too, right?
When people ask me who's the best rapper of all time, I usually start with MC Scat Cat.
As well, you should.
Is it MC Scat Cat? I don't think that's his name.
I think that's right.
Is it?
Try me.
Let's see. I thought it was MC.
Don't catch me lying. Try me.
MC. How do you spell scat?
I think it's S-K-A-T.
Yep. MC Scat Cat featuring
Boom.
Paula Abdul.
Yeah.
That's the Scat Strut. Ooh. I don't know if I know the Scat Strut.
I know that you. I don't want to hear it because anything
know,
to do with a Paula Abdul song, I'm out.
I do know that there's an MC Scat Cat video live in Japan where a guy or gal is dressed in MC Scat Cat like a mascot. It looks
costume?
Like the old Coyote with the Astros. Who was that? Junction Jack.
Yep.
Literally looks like Junction Jack doing
Coyote
a doing
was
a
the
song.
Spurs.
Huh?
Coyote's the Spurs. Junction Jack's a rabbit.
Was he a rabbit?
He's a rabbit.
He looked
you
like
want to try me on that one, too?
No, but he didn't look like a rabbit at
He's
all.
He's a rabbit.
Did he? Was he?
Go ahead. Try me again.
Junction Jack. He didn't
Two
look like
one
a rabbit.
Segment. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
He's a rabbit.
He is a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I think he was a coyote?
I didn't know either. I just Googled it. So
that is awful.
Coyotes in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Would I tell me what you think the Sun's mascot was?
A sun.
Nope.
I don't know. A phoenix.
The gorilla.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What's the point of that?
Why, yeah. How'd that happen?
I don't know.
Junction Jack, I don't know why
don't
that
make it weird.
I don't know why that was a thing. A rabbit.
I get the whole they've tried to build up the train station and the name Junction Jack, but I don't know how they then derived
a rabbit. Yeah, rabbits and trains, not a
when you went from space
that had to have
to
been
a train.
You know
station.
Whose idea that was? That was 1,000% Drayton McLean's idea, and no one was going to tell him it's stupid because he's the owner.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Guarantee right now, he was like, "What we need is a rabbit." They were like, "Oh yeah, sure, that sounds great."
I've lived
sir.
Through that.
Really?
Les Alexander's wife picked the name of the arena football team, and she didn't like the fact that early on it was the Texas Terror, and it was too scary, and she didn't like it, and she was a big animal advocate. And she created the name because she loved Clutch the Bear. She created the Houston Thunder Bears, and we all went, the what? Like, we couldn't even Google what the hell a Thunder Bear was.
The
she
Bears
just made it
that
up.
Bring thunder.
And we became, wow. as an arena football team, nothing more manly during intros than playing AC/DC and coming out. And here's your Thunder Bears.
I'm looking up the Houston Thunder Bears right now.
Oh, yeah.
Why is the mascot look like a grizzly?
I was just going to say.
That doesn't look like a Thunder Bear. It looks like a grizzly bear. She really screwed that up.
Stole the bottom it from line Memphis. Is there's way more questions than there are answers when it comes to how that all
I
came about.
I feel like it. I barely remember them. They started off, you're right, Texas Terror, 1996, 1997.
All of it.
The Houston Thunder Bears were 98 to 2001, and in typical Houston fashion, no league championships.
I remember the
no
Terror. I don't
MVP
remember
championships.
Had the best player in Clint Dawzell, the quarterback.
Oh, I do remember that name.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Head coach was Steve Thon.
Tun. Pronounced Tun. Steve Tun.
Steve Tun?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Good dude.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think they all achieved a lot of success elsewhere when they moved on.
Did they?
Yep. Mm. We started out trying to be the Oilers. Art Briles was the head coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It didn't go over so well.
I am
looking. Nice man, though.
Ben Bronson was the breakout player of the year. Mm-hmm. Lineman of the year. Wow. Was that the thing in arena football? They had linemen?
Don't even recall that. I know that the fun thing was before games.
They played in the Compaq Center.
Yeah. So we would go out there like after lunch and kick field goals and
nice.
Could throw the ball the length of the field and all that kind of stuff.
That's good times. Hey, you want to have good times in the bedroom? Get you some chewables from BlueChew.com. Not only is it going to increase the fun you have in the bedroom, it's going to increase the time that you spend in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. And look, if you do have ED, it's going to help you with that as well. And even if you don't have ED, the chewables from BlueChew.com are, like I said, they're going to make you champ in the bedroom. They're going to make it more fun for you. And I love it because you don't have to spend the normal time and the normal energy that you did before planning your sex life. Like with Viagra and Cialis in the past, you had to give it an hour to kick in. You had to take it on a full stomach. Not with the chewables from BlueChew.com. 20 minutes, you're good to go. Take it on a full or empty stomach. And the best part is you're going to even save money getting them because you don't have to go to a doctor and waste the time and money doing that. They have physicians online that you can consult with. And if they feel like the chewables from BlueChew.com are for you and that you need them, then their physicians will qualify you and give you your prescription right there online.
Yeah, Barry's right. And here's the thing. Not only are you going to save money and time, but you're also going to do everything discreetly. It's not going to be where you have to sit in a waiting room and have everybody have every eye on you like, oh, I know why that guy's here. No. Once you go to BlueChew.com and you speak with an affiliated physician, if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly, and there's no in-person doctor visit. There is no awkward conversation or those waiting rooms either in the doctor's office or at the pharmacy because it ships directly to your door and it comes in discreet packaging, so no one knows but you. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed online by a doctor, and it's made in the United States, so you know you can trust the product and you're going to get exactly what you ordered. BlueChew gives you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner are going to love it. It's down to the basic, simple one sentence, guys. Chew it and do it. And there's a great deal for you guys. You visit BlueChew.com, you get your first order for free when you use your promo code SUSPECTS. Just pay the $5 shipping. How much better of a deal can you get than that? You just pay $5 in shipping and you get your first order free and you can get down to business. That's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Promo code SUSPECTS.
ESPN. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, almost to the midway point. It's The Usual Suspects wrapping up the first half of the three-hour extravaganza. Barry, Nick, and Joel in Gal Media Studios. This, of course, is a way back Wednesday. This hour so far has, I think Nick and I can both attest to, sucked.
Yeah, this is the first good song he's had. All the other songs have sucked.
Paul, you know, Abdul. What's crazy is that half of my list is stuff you play every day. So good to know that you're...
I don't play the Chili Peppers Give It Away all the time. I don't play Paula Abdul. Guns N' Roses.
Play, he does not play Paula Abdul.
No, he doesn't
play. I've played Give It Away, but not normally.
Pretty regularly. What else is on my list? Because I totally forgot.
Third base is on there. PM Dawn. Prince. Yeah. Get Off.
PM Dawn.
There was another one I saw.
Ghetto Boys.
I think Jump Around was on there.
It is not.
But it was 91.
No, I think it's 90.
Oh. I play Jump Around a lot because I like that. I like House of Pain. I liked House of Pain.
So you're just a kid of the 90s.
Yeah.
That hasn't updated his playlist.
Not the 50s or the 60s. Not Sullivan's era.
What's wrong with the 50s and 60s?
Whatever the hell he was.
You leave Joel alone.
No, I'm not 50s and 60s either. But I'll tell you who is. Lisa, because her mom.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lisa loves that because her mom played Motown all the time when they were kids. So she always goes and messes with whatever car we're in with the XM to get to the 50s and 60s. I'm like, no. Mm-mm. 70s as far back as I need to go. Not doing any of that.
Not listening. What is she listening to? Ray Charles?
Like, no,
what?
Motown stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, from Gladys Knight and the Spinners or, I don't know, the Temptations. Don't catch me lying.
I hear you. Everybody, I mean, if you grew up watching a show, like, there's some shows that I probably would not watch today had I not grew up watching it. That was probably before my time. Or listening to music. If you're growing up with it, I can see why she likes
Golden
it.
Girls?
Golden Girls would not be one, so.
Oh. What?
You were watching the Golden Girls?
I was never really into it.
I mean, I knew they were big, but in terms of male popular. And female.
You like the Olsen twins, right?
No.
No?
That was Full House?
DJ wasn't your thing?
Full House was awful.
It really wasn't.
That whole...
Wasn't that bad?
Bob Saget, John Stamos?
Say no more, fam. That tells me all I need to know about you and your opinions of humor.
Don't act like
if you
didn't watch
Full House. That is literally all I need to know about your opinions on humor.
Not a Bob Saget fan?
No, not that show. By the way, Saget is a filthy comedian. One of the dirtiest
they said
comedians.
That on the set. He was like
one of the dirtiest
people.
Comedians in the game. Filthy, but he was squeaky clean on that and America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah,
and awful on both of them. He wasn't funny on America's Home Videos, and Full House wasn't funny.
I don't know. He's better than Carlton.
Yeah, Carlton's not there.
No. Bob Saget carried that show for a few years.
The best was Tom Bergeron. Tom
Bergeron. More than a few years. It was a while, wasn't it?
Yeah. Not good either.
The show was around for a while.
The videos were funny. He wasn't.
Right. I would agree with that.
That whole Friday night with, because then it was what? Family Matters after that? Wasn't that Urkel?
Yes.
It was like Full House and then Family Matters.
Yes, it was.
I did that.
That was awful television.
I was all about that.
I wasn't
life.
A fan of that either. I guess I didn't even know it was all on Friday night.
Yeah.
I didn't watch
it. So by the time those shows were big, you guys were like into your adult lives and y'all didn't have time.
Yeah, for sure.
I was coming off of school and just.
What year was that?
I would say 90s, right? 93.
I wasn't even out of high school yet. Oh.
95?
No, because those were on when I was in high.
I was all about championships.
Don't sit here and try to make me older than I am, punk.
I feel like it was in the 90s.
Full House was 87 to 95.
Okay, but 87 to 95. When'd you graduate?
92.
Okay. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Let me try to make me older than I am.
Well, I mean, I was from 92 to 95. I was literally 7-8 years old. I mean, I didn't have that much responsibility. So I was watching those
shows. Well, I can see why you would like that then at 7 or 8. I thought maybe you were a little older. And
92, and I was 9 years old.
I feel like you should have been old enough to realize how dumb that show was then.
At 9?
Yeah.
So you couldn't really enjoy the championship years with the Rockets.
I totally. That was when I was into basketball.
But I'm saying you couldn't really enjoy. Like you were out celebrating.
My sister was driving. We were just yelling around in downtown in my sister's car. Me, my sister, and my brother. My sister was old enough to drive. So we just went to downtown and started yelling at random people.
See the trophy
just
in the
yelling
middle of
the
street.
At
them? Yeah, we're just like, yeah, right. I mean, come on. I mean, that's what you do. I mean, at least back then. I mean, that's what I did.
Because I remember driving down Richmond and aside from the actual parade itself, and it was just crazy. When we talk about when Kawhi was meeting with the Raptors and the whole city block was like 8 to 10 deep, the whole block long with people. I mean, that was the entire, every street you went down, Richmond, Westheimer, it was nuts.
It's crazy.
We couldn't wait to get home and get off the plane and get in our car and go, let's just soak this in.
Yeah, Richmond was outstanding. It was so much fun.
The trophy was in the middle of the street.
Didn't move anywhere. Just sat there in one spot basically for hours. It was a lot of fun.
There were a lot of dents put in it because it did make quite a circuit with the equipment manager at the time, David Nordstrom, RIP. But Dark Horse was his nickname. And the Dark Horse, no one benefited and capitalized more on the Rockets winning a championship than DH. DH had that trophy at Sam's Boat. He had it in Galveston. I don't think DH paid for a meal or, shall I say, entertainment a long
smart
period
man.
Of time after each championship.
Yeah, smart man.
There were a lot of people enjoying, and a lot of people got a lot of pictures with that trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Those were some good times in this city.
That's the one thing I regret. I wish I had a picture of it. A picture with the trophy.
But even now, today?
I mean, back then at the time when I was...
I could help you, but now...
No,
be a replica.
No, I'm talking about back then at the time. At the time, it would have been...
Yeah. Which is still weird to me. What? When Les sold the team, he kept the trophies.
Yeah, you told us that. I didn't know about that until you brought it up on the air.
Yeah, and then because Mark Berman made a story of it.
I would have kept it.
And Les admitted it.
You guys got mad at me. I said the same thing. I was like, I'd keep it. You're like, no. This belongs to the team.
I think that just stays to the franchise because it means more to the... I mean...
But if you own the franchise, then you own that trophy. At the end of the day, it's yours.
No, he didn't steal it or anything. It was more about morals than. Oh, wait a second. Why are you making that face?
I'm doing that, Barry, not you. It's fine.
He's puckering the lips. What did I say that?
I don't know.
No. I'm saying because here's the thing. This gets down to a discussion I don't want to have again about rings and everything like that. But even with the rings, when you think about it, you didn't win that championship by yourself. I get it. You own the team, but also just like the rings. You can get duplicate trophies. If you go back and you talk to people, there are players that have gotten rings for Michael Jordan, I think, got 9 championship rings for each championship for members of his family and things like that. I mean, you could get different rings and trophies and things.
Okay. So give everybody else replicas, and since I'm the owner and I paid for all of this, that trophy's going home with me for good. What's wrong with that?
I just don't agree with it, but that's fine.
So you would just leave it at the team's facility?
Yeah, I think so. Because you know what? When you work for a team, you know how many days a year you use those trophies.
But there wasn't any precedent for it? Like there was never another owner that did that?
I'd be interested to see if any other owner ever kept it.
Because I don't know either. I'm just asking.
I don't think that they did.
Okay.
But that would be an interesting...
Because if there was a precedent, that would give him a little bit of an excuse. Topic to research?
Yeah.
A little bit of an excuse, I guess.
I just personally think that, you know, the trophies stay. Because like I said, between ticket events, season ticket holder parties, that's a big enticing thing to have people that are associated or like the sponsors want to get a picture with those trophies. And all of a sudden, you know, you change ownership and you're looking around. You go, hey, has anybody seen the trophies? No one knows where they are. And then Mark Berman calls Les Alexander in his office and he goes, hey, they're right here behind me in my office. I'm looking for a permanent spot for them. You go, oh, wow. Well, that solves that mystery. And then you got to call Tiffany's and try and get a couple more made.
Really?
Yeah.
Tiffany's, huh?
Yeah, Tiffany's makes all the trophies. So
at least it's not the Stanley Cup where they keep the same one and there's all kinds of germs and stuff on it.
Yeah, that's. I saw a video where the other day where they were making margaritas in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Was that really the Stanley Cup, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought it was a replica,
no,
man.
No.
They were making margaritas in the Stanley Cup?
Everybody
salted
drinks
the
out of
rim
that thing.
And everything.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Everybody drinks out of that thing, and I don't know how well they clean it.
And it's tradition to kiss the trophy in the event that you win it, right?
Outside, yeah.
Mm.
I don't know you got to be licking the rim, but...
Wow.
It just depends on the content.
I didn't think that was a real...
I'm kind of out on that.
Yeah, me too.
I know you are. Yeah. I absolutely know you are. Yeah. You would probably Purell before you held the trophy.
You're damn right.
There you go. All right, first half's in the book. Second half coming up right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. Much more of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello! The stories that make Houston sports great. Houston Sports Show, Sunday nights at 11:30 on KPRC Channel 2.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I love this song. I can't give
Good
you any
song.
Heat for this one.
Good song.
Big PM Dawn fan. Love this song. So, one
so
out of eight.
PM Dawn was not a one-hit wonder?
No,
they had two hit. They were a two-hit wonder.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Well, and again, I could quote you more, but
I'd Die Without You.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. I'd Die Without You, and then I don't remember what else. Oh, Looking Through Patient Eyes. I don't even know what the hell that is.
That's not their best, but
that was it then.
Paper Doll.
No, they had a.
I Die Without You.
They sometimes had a remix I miss 51st Dates too. That was really good.
Nope, you're wrong.
No, I'm not.
That's all I know is those two. Those two on their discography were the best ones. Set Adrift hit number one in the U.S. I Die Without You hit three. Looking Through Patient Eyes hit six. I don't even know what that sounds like. Looking Through Patient Eyes
I
by
don't
PM Dawn?
It probably sucks. I don't want to.
You don't want to play it?
You can listen to it on your Spotify on your own time.
You don't want to actually do some work for the show?
I am. Add I played your PM Dawn song.
Yeah, that's but that
production
you do that anyways.
Value, didn't you? What was that song I played yesterday for the hurricane guest? It was amazing. I don't even remember the
Rock You Like
Scorpion.
A Hurricane.
Rock You Like a Hurricane.
I didn't even know.
Genius idea. Do you know how I came up with that song?
Who helped you with that?
You Googled songs about hurricane. When you could have played E-40s.
Dude, if he picked your freaking code for your phone, he's going to read your mind more times than you'd like to admit.
It was a pretty dumb passcode. He got lucky.
Pretty dumb?
I'm surprised you can count to five.
It was six, so really...
I know, that's that why when you got to six, I was like, wow, he reached new...
cracked the code?
Yeah.
It's a good thing it's not four numbers like the Samsung. Then you really would be
well,
in
it
trouble.
Used to be, I believe.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe that.
You know what's so funny is that when you do put in your code the first time, iPhone warns you, like, by the way...
This is
a fire drill?
Oh, my God.
In the middle of the show.
Is it a drill or...
Or is this for real?
Man, dude.
I'm out.
Literally right now, we've got
with the mic on
flashing
and everything.
And the alarm's going off. I don't
know. We just need someone to tell us if the building is burning down. Barry, did you get any type of update? What did you do? Run out and run?
I'm not dying with you bitches. Okay?
We'll find
I'm going to
tell
you right now.
We'll find out if
we'll
it's for real.
Take the stairs because they're under construction. Maybe you could just fall down a few flights.
I'm not I'm not looking at you two ugly asses as my the last thing I see before I die. If this is a fire, if I die, I am going to be so mad.
I hope you fall face first down the stairs into someone's backside. Then you'll die looking at that ass.
What? That,
was instead of our ugly asses.
That was very specific. That was very, very specific way to go.
People I wish were in front of you when you fell down the stairs.
How would I fall down the stairs into someone's ass?
You're following somebody down the flights of stairs. And then something happens that you fall forward.
Something happens. Their ass is still in the air, Joel.
No, if you go forward and they're in front of you.
I can't believe we're having this discussion on air.
Whether or not someone could fall off the stairs and land in somebody else's ass.
It's just the
it's
weirdest.
It's a legit conversation.
Is it?
Yeah. All right.
Oh, good. It stopped.
It stopped.
We're not going to die. I was going to leave.
Fun, please.
I was just
going to
get
down
drunk.
To emergency services and told them this wasn't working.
Yeah, you guys are going to turn that off.
This has to go right now. So hopefully that's just a test in case we need to use that if the storm.
Hopefully so. Hey, somebody said November Rain is an amazing song. By
False.
Far, Guns N' Roses' best song.
Nope. Disagree.
Not even close. Welcome to the Jungle.
Sweet Child of Mine.
Or Sweet Child of Mine.
Both pretty good. But November Rain's a good song.
Oh. If you're like trying to fall asleep,
that's what I thought it was.
You're
you know, like
all
when you
kinds
wanna...
of lullabies. You used to hammer me for that, and Nick for you can't go soft, bro. You can't because you're trying to get the listener's approval, and instead, all you did was like do slumber time.
Yeah,
Paula
you can't go soft,
Abdul,
bro.
And then the slow song from Guns N' Roses. I'm sleepy. What are you doing to us? Jeez.
Listen, I'm trying to broaden your horizons.
You know, maybe rushing to accumulate a list may not be a good idea, at least for 1991.
I'm
I think we've
you.
Learned. I should have done some due diligence before I just...
True story. I heard you guys gloating, and Nick got his list in already, and you were going to stay up at the office and do it while I was driving home. So when I got home, I already was in a very salty mood with Lisa, and I was like, just give me about a half hour here. I got to do some research. And so I get on the computer, I start looking, and I go... Wait a minute. Either these idiots missed a really good Billboard list and other lists to check from. Then I was like, okay, this is too good to be true. I got to check every song to make sure it was released in 91 because there shouldn't be this many good songs remaining, and yet there were.
I was just in a hurry. I didn't really care about the quality of the list.
That's basically where I'm at.
Some of these were like, I like that song, and some of them were like, I don't like this song, but it was on the list, so it's going
what
on
What did
there.
Pink Valkyrie call me on Twitter? Did she call me like a complaining girl on Twitter?
Probably.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Pretty accurate. Next week's Way Back Wednesday should be songs from 1912, 1934, and 1956.
Well, I'd lost.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I didn't even know he was doing it.
That's pretty good.
That is outstanding, whoever texted that in. Very well done. Nick said he hates Barry Laminack in the first 10 minutes of Charlie's show. More snitching going on.
Yeah.
And
I
don't
said,
worry.
I hate you, and that's the reason why I got you the beer, because I want to get you fat, and so I can get rid of you, and that's basically what
is
I said.
It? Yeah. So,
but whoever that snitch is.
I know.
Just say the 10-digit number out loud. Go ahead.
It's 832-808. No, I'm not going to do it. That wouldn't do
you
it.
You were tempted, though. You were
I totally
tempted.
Would do it. I don't care.
6 of the 10 is still not a bad start.
No. And then the last text in the queue right now says, Joel is weird AF.
Thank you very little. Appreciate that. Matt wants to get in here talking about randomly Verlander and Rockets trophies. Matt, what's up?
Well, first of all, I just want to bring up the whole Verlander thing. I'm kind of with Verlander, just kind of pointing it out because, you know, he's really good at what he does, and he's kind of like he's always been a student of the game. He always tries to improve. So baseball's going to tweak a few things and not really come out and say anything until after the fact. After it, you know, the results are out there. You know, if Verlander's like, well, if I leave this pitch out over the zone, one out of 10 times, somebody might knock it out of the park. But this year, they're knocking it out 4 out of 10 times. And it's, you know, so I just feel like, you know, I don't blame him for coming out and complaining about it, regardless if guys get to hit, you know, get to hit it on his team, because it isn't like the guys on his team that are hitting it are going, well, normally when I swing like this, it only goes out this many times, but this year it's going out that many times. I mean, it's just, you know, the whole thing is just kind of silly. I don't mind Verlander. I actually agree with what he's doing because he's pointing it out. And then about the Rockets trophies, first of all, if I'm the owner and I own something and I win a couple championships, I'm taking those trophies with me if I sell the team because I owned it. Those are mine. I don't feel like first of all, they can replace those trophies like you said, and I don't care if Tiffany's has to replace them or not. I mean, that's you know, that's still mine. So if I'm some billionaire guy and I won two trophies with the Rockets, I'm going to want to keep that and display them some way or another. I didn't like the new billionaire can't afford to get him a couple new ones. I didn't like it's an office chair, computers. I mean, they got to keep all that, but I'm taking the trophies with me. I mean, that's just kind of my point of view. So appreciate I'll go ahead and hang up, and I'll wait for the Cato story. Thanks. Bye-bye.
He took that shot on the way out, Matt.
Wow.
That was not right, bud.
It's all you, Bear.
Not right.
I give a horse's ass about Matt. Not anymore. With you. No, now we know. Now we can at least identify with more than a phone number. Now we've got a
name.
Now
you know who it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a cheap
shot.
Now
we just don't have to refer to him as an ass clown. Now he has lived up to it.
He sucker punched you on the way out. That wasn't right at all. I had a feeling, and I didn't want to say it.
But you weren't sure?
I had a feeling something was going to happen during that call. I just didn't know what. It just didn't feel right. That was a cheap shot, Matt, on the way out. You got to lead with that, at least.
Nah, because then if they lead with it, they won't put
they you. They get cut off.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's
like,
why they did it.
No. Obviously, I agree with Matt on the trophy thing for sure.
I skip the trophy thing for a second, and not that I want to give him any kind of credence with any answer, but I think you said it best. Verlander's just not the best spokesperson. Mm-mm. For talking about and complaining about a juiced ball when you've given up a ton of home runs this year. And it's kind of been what people have noticed most about you this year is that you've just been susceptible to giving up a ton of long balls. If you have it from somebody, you know, that's not possibly being called spilled milk, crying over, you know, things that are maybe hurting you, maybe Scherzer is the right answer. Maybe guys like that have been dominant or still, you know, good at their craft that can say, well, you know, maybe there is a few differences, but...
Yeah, that's the part of the problem with Verlander and this whole thing is if you're a fly ball pitcher and the ball tends to – those ones that might have been caught at the warning track are probably going out now, and that's going to be the difference in your numbers being what they usually are versus what they are now. And again, at the end of the day, everybody's playing with the same ball, and there are guys out there that haven't given up at least a home run a game. So
yeah.
Maybe pitch down the zone a little. I don't know. Maybe don't get as much of the zone.
I mean,
there's a lot of reasons why.
But if this is all a result of these home runs, all a result of the commissioner changing the ball, I mean, he deserves a lot of credit because he did it without reintroducing steroids or anything. Like, you know, the game got better without cheating.
But
it's hard to criticize him for that, I feel like.
Yeah, but it's not changing the ball. It's perfecting the way the ball is manufactured.
Fair enough. So like he was able to increase home runs without reintroducing steroids or doing it illegally or in a shady way. I'm not mad at that.
Right.
I'm not.
And the bottom line is on the Cato story too. I mean, I just speak about my life experiences. So if we want Matt to join the show another time, so we can talk about living in his parents' basement until he was 40, and the fact that he had a lot of late night visits to strip center porn shops, we can get him back on the show. We'll be back to keep going through hour number two of the Big Show. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through our number 2-3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be on this way back Wednesday in the big city. Nick had hour number one, Barry number two. I'll take hour number three. The year 1991. You know, guys, we from time to time catch snafus on social media and otherwise. Did you see what the Sixers did?
I did not.
So we all know by now Jimmy Butler orchestrated his way out of Philly as a free agent. He's going to be with the Heat. Right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So the Sixers wanted to do the right thing. So they put out a tweet, complete with his Twitter handle, at Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they tagged at Jimmy Butler, and they wanted to say thank you for what he did for the Sixers for a year. The only problem is they did this really sweet graphic with Jimmy in the Sixers uniform, and it said, thank you, Jimmy Butter.
Yes! That's
Jimmy
the best
Butter?
Thing ever.
Really? B-U-T-E-R. Wow. No L insight. And with his Twitter handle right above it with the correct spelling, you could have caught it in time. Instead, it was out there for a while before they finally pulled it down.
They're going to block you for correcting their spelling.
That's
first
okay.
of all, I can and live I'm with okay
that.
With it.
I can live with that too.
Yeah, that's pretty embarrassing. I mean, you would think that. Listen, if I misspell something, one, it's because I'm a dumbass and don't know how to spell it, or two, I am a fast typer, and so especially if I'm using my laptop to send out a tweet or something, chances are I'm going to spell something wrong, and I don't proofread it. That's the other problem, is I don't proofread tweets or posts or whatever. I just post it, and then I see it, and I'm like, damn it. Especially when you got a good tweet that's already getting a bunch of likes, and then you notice a misspelling. That's the worst feeling in the world, because you're like, well, can't waste all those likes, never get those back, so you have to leave it. But in their case, you hope that there's somebody's job to just proofread everything that goes out on their public accounts, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, whatever it is. And
so somewhere my man Chad good. Shanks is going, someone should pay for this, because Chad was the guy that did the tweet when the Rockets were going to beat the Mavs in the playoffs.
The gun to the horse head.
Gun in the horse head and
still
got fired.
Still the stupidest reason to get
just
fired.
Just ridiculous. And let's at least not forget that the petty responses after the NBA awards that got everybody fired up about Rockets Twitter now. It's you know what?
It's a much bigger mistake when you do it from a team's Twitter. Yeah. It's obviously, it exposes you a lot more, so it sucks. But
there should definitely be some proofreading that takes place. That is no doubt.
Yeah, this proofing on the fly thing, it just doesn't work.
Jimmy Butter.
Nick found out today. Proofing on the fly.
Oh, you did that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it wasn't a very nice text. I was like, nope.
He's like, let's go to the text line. This one's... I don't think I'm going to read that one.
It was mean to you or mean
no,
to Charlie?
It was just mean in general.
It was mean to Charlie,
but he even
wasn't
said
it?
He
it,
goes,
wasn't,
I learned
it had nothing to do with me or Charlie or the show, I promise.
He said he learned a lesson that from Barry. He goes, now I know how Barry feels when he proofs on the fly.
Did you really say that?
Yeah, I did.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Jerk.
So there's that. So I wanted to throw that out there with you, and also to say, can we talk about this for a second, this Enes Kanter thing? Enes Kanter, who finished the year with the Blazers last year, signed with the Celtics, seven-footer, he does the cheat meals. So he's in Chicago training this summer, and he lays out in a video on social media about his cheat meal coming up. So he's got Chicago deep dish pizza. He's got Chicago-style hot dogs. He's got hamburgers. He's got all this food. And it's all laid on a table, and it looks damn good. But then he decides that he's going to show everybody what his actual first portion of this meal is going to be. He takes a burger. He takes the top bun off. He puts a Chicago-style hot dog cut in half on top of that. He then proceeds to shower it with ketchup, mayonnaise, horseradish, and then slaps a slice of pizza on top of that as the top bun and takes a massive bite. That is just disgusting.
Kind of sounds good.
You like horseradish?
I mean,
that's the one thing I won't consume.
And
that.
I know you're a mayo guy.
Yeah.
Don't take it the wrong way. But I'm just saying, I just have never seen any, like, the people that just think that's a go-to condiment.
There's mayo, horseradish, all that. Especially if you combine it all on a pizza and a burger.
That's nasty, man.
I'd eat that.
Oh, Nick, you?
I mean, there's portions of that I'd probably try. The reddish, for sure, is a turnoff. I mean, if that's his cheat meal, that's his cheat meal. I like burgers. I like pizza. I like that stuff. I don't like hot dogs. Right, I will not eat a hot dog.
Well, you're bougie.
And I don't either, but simply because growing up in Milwaukee, when you do the field trip to the Usinger plant and finds out what goes into a
that
sausage,
you don't want to see.
Now you're like, I'm done for life.
That you don't want to know.
When you let everything from the rooter to the tooter, as Calvin Murphy said, is in that sausage casing, I'll pass.
I'm trying to. There's a dipping sauce that's mostly horseradish that you would be surprised. You're like, oh, I didn't realize it's actually pretty good.
It's the cocktail sauce for shrimp, I believe. Is a lot of horseradish.
Oh, really?
The red sauce for shrimp, I believe, is made with at least a decent portion of horseradish.
I did not know that.
I think that might be what you're referring
Outback to. Outback has a horseradish dipping sauce.
Well, and that's for their Bloomin' Onion?
I would imagine.
Okay. That might be it.
Yeah.
That might be it. I know that Arby's has the horsey sauce.
The what?
You don't know what horsey sauce
no,
is?
No, thank goodness.
It's horseradish. It's horsey sauce. They call it horsey sauce.
Okay.
How do you not know this?
I've seen people dip fried
Arby's.
Well, that's been too long.
I guess so.
People dip fried zucchini into their horseradish.
What people?
Like restaurants, you'll see it. People will order fried zucchinis and they'll dip it in that.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah.
That first of all, fried zucchini doesn't sound
good. Fried kind of makes things better though.
Nope.
Not zucchini?
Nope.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Cocktail sauce is two parts ketchup.
How much? Never mind.
Don't do that. Yes.
How much?
Oh.
Is in it.
I ain't dumping you.
2 cups ketchup, 2 teaspoons Worcestershire sauce, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 2 teaspoons horseradish to adjust to the taste.
Okay.
So there you have that.
All right.
So you do get some horseradish in your shrimp.
Got it.
How about that?
See? It's not bad.
It's bad.
Somebody wanted to know. Actually, USA Mike texted the show. He said, "Hey, Barry, I have a question. I keep getting asked this, and I don't know the answer. Why are baseball fields allowed to be different dimensions, but football and basketball courts aren't?
That's a good question.
What's the regulation
tradition
for a homer?
Probably?
What's the regulation for a homer being hit 325 and is a home run in one stadium but not in the other?" From what I understand, and I could be wrong on this, but I think it has to do with back in the day when in individual cities, wherever they were going to build the park, sometimes they didn't have the you know,
ample room for,
right, like you may be up like there may be a street or a building or something and they would have to adjust the size of the ballpark, and because they were just getting the stadiums built, everybody was like, well, that's fine as long as the bases are the same length apart and the pitching mound and everything else, then that's fine. So I think it has to do with specifically just it's historical that they had to build around stuff or they weren't able to meet certain dimensions, so they would just adjust on the fly.
I don't know the answer. I think it's a valid question, because especially the way he tables it and presents it is the fact that if the basketball court and the football field are exactly the same and soccer fields, wherever you go, it is interesting that baseball is allowed to do that. And I would also think, because people complain about when we're getting into exit velo and launch angle and all that stuff. Now, right field in Yankee Stadium, left field at Minute Maid Park and at Fenway, because of how short the distance is, even though you got to get it up in the air a little bit. I would assume baseball has to sign off on all this stuff.
Absolutely. Well, the commissioners and the commissioner's office, I think, approves every stadium. They have to.
Just like the games in London, the furthest that they could go in center field was 385.
I do know that stadiums have to be situated a certain way. Like, I don't think you can have the batter's box facing west or east because of the
sunlight.
Yeah, because of the sun. So I think they have to be positioned, that especially, you know, home plate. And,
that's interesting.
And, yeah, it has to be a certain way. I do know that.
Texans were supposed to figure that out with their stadium in sunlight. That didn't work so well.
Nope.
You know what does work well? Infuse Energy. If you're looking for a new energy provider, or you just want to get an energy provider that gets you better rates and a better deal, check out the people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated, do a fantastic job. I switched over 2 years ago. I just renewed with them because why wouldn't I? When I look at my bills year to year and realize I've saved thousands from my previous energy company to the people at Infuse Energy, and I know that Pat P. Randizzle's out there and a lot of different people have come to me and said, what company do you use? And then they came back and said, God, I'm glad I switched. You can be next. You can sign up for Infuse Energy and you can find out what I'm talking about. You can call them right now at 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. You can also check it out online, infuseenergy.com. But if you call, right off the top, you're going to be pleased. It's not an automated system. It's a human being. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it weekends, weekdays, and is it for your business or your family? When they get all that stuff under wraps and they can figure out and pinpoint the best deal for you, you're going to be extremely pleased because most times their rates are not going to be beat. And in the rare occasions that they are, they're going to be honest enough to tell you there's another company out there that can get you a better deal. You may or may want to jump to that other company, but at the end of the day, they feel better knowing that they didn't screw you over, try to pull the wool over your eyes. They were honest, upfront, and like a trusted friend. You may not have chosen them this time, but you'll be back because you know you can trust them. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Check them out. Infuse energy into your life.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.